Can you, the prompts are too short for that one. Where the NICA base was. Up on, what did they call that road? Newport Road, didn't they? On Newport Road. Mm-hmm. And we got mail once a week. And we went, I had an uncle that was a fireman in Detroit, and it was all done with fire with horses. And they got motor driven fire, and my dad went to Detroit and got one of the horses from the fire department.
Bought one
and bought a buggy up there and drove it home. So we had a horse from the fire department that would go a mile a minute.
A mile a minute.
That's right. So
Where did you go to school when you were in Monroe?
District number 8.
Where's that at today?
Frenchtown.
Frenchtown.
Uh-huh. They don't have it anymore. That was be down in Jefferson School now, like, but we'd be going to Jefferson.
Mm-hmm. How about where'd you go to church in Monroe?
Well, I went to church first at St. Charles, but then now I go at St. Mary's.
St. Mary's is the second oldest church in Michigan.
How about your father? Can you tell any stories about him, where he worked? And
he had a 40-acre farm up there, and then he moved down on North Stony Creek Road and bought 120 acres. He was a farmer, and he sold off about 30 acres of timber. And they brought it down to the railroad track, and they would stayed all winter. They had a sawmill.
Mile to the railroad track.
Mile to the railroad, and they brought that to Massillon, Ohio.
That was all horse drawn.
Is it working?
Well, that's in Frenchtown.
Yeah,
well, that's okay. Sorry.
Now, the Jefferson School, is it going?
Mm-hmm.
Jefferson School is in Frenchtown, and that land that they put on Jefferson School is on was my grandfather's farm.
And his name was what?
Richard Lamb.
Why don't you tell me the story about the Toledo Bread Factory or whatever?
Well, we live 1 mile from the DUR, and we went to Toledo to visit a cousin, and at Ted Key's they were going to have their first automatic bread slicer. So we all got ready and went down there to see them slice bread. So I seen them slice the bread, and I think everyone in Toledo did too.
They could say you were the first person to see sliced bread, huh?
Right.
How about in Monroe? Can you tell us what were the first stores or companies that you guys can remember?
H.D. Huffman had a Lady's Millinery and apparel shop.
There used to be a Fred W. Wagner shoe store. And then there was Fredenberg Heil and Tackett, which was a men's store. Hagen's drugstore. Andrew Mitchell bookstore. Shrouders Meat Market. X Meat Market also. And grocery stores were Seacott, Joseph F. Roberts, Herman's, it was Gentile's Jeweler, Cull Blacksmith, Eichbauer Monument, Steiner Hardware Store, Monroe Hardware Store, First National Bank, Dansert State Savings Bank, W.P. Sterling Coal Company, Haisley Shoe Store, Jaeger's, Martin's Shoe Store, Jaeger's and Martin's Shoe Store, and there was Huffman Clothing, it's still here. And there was a Vicking grocery store, Fred W. Meyer bookstore, Finzel Hardware, the Loose Novelty Shop, Frank Mitchell's bookstore, the McMillan print shop. There was at one time a McMillan's wood shop. Munch's. That was where the interurban car, DUR, or the interurban electric car. Stop. That was a station for them.
What was that at?
Right on the corner next to Sears. You know that where the bachelor's or looked right on the corner of First and Monroe on the northeast corner. That was the Munch building.
Do you guys remember? They said something about the Custer building was used to be down on the corner in the middle of Washington and right across the street from the courthouse.
Custer Monument.
The Custer Monument. Yeah.
Custer Monument was right in the middle of the intersection of Washington and First Street.
Why did they move it out of there?
Well, because I think of the increased traffic. You know, it was at that time. I think when that was unveiled, Jacob Martin was mayor.
That was 1910.
In June of 1910.
Taft.
And President Taft was here for that and. Was really a very grand affair.
And how did they move that thing?
Well, some method. And it was moved from there down to the Soldiers Park down on East Front Street.
Mm-hmm.
And then they moved it to its present location, which I think is a very good location for it. More people see it there. And the interurban used to run from Detroit to Toledo. That was our only, well, not the only means. We had train service too, but a great many Monroe people used the interurban. And there used to be a little candy store across from St. Mary's School, which was run by the Lemeron family. And
is that the same Mary's School it is today?
Yes. Same St. Mary's School, and it is that building is the one where, it's that little eating place or.
Elias Brothers?
No. Or is that torn down? No,
I think it's.
Or is that the barber shop along in there?
And those used to be car barns.
Car barns.
United Railway car barns.
Mm-hmm.
So, located through
where the I think the, isn't it the, is it the, some beer
beverage
company is well those big high buildings. Well, that was the car barn.
Part
of it. Yeah. They used to run the cars in there. See, like when they were through with their run. Then there was also a little station, a ticket office. Remember there? And I don't know if you remember how Mr. Hotchkiss used to sweep the tracks with his broom. He was a little short little man, and he swept, would always sweep the car tracks. And then there was another man. What was his name?
It would enter each streetcar.
The streetcar would
stop there for maybe five or 6 minutes. He would go through with a confectionery tray.
Yeah.
Sell confections. The car while they were waiting for
like a big tin basket or something with cookies and candy. Mm-hmm. And then beyond that, there was the powerhouse, and that furnished a lot of power for the city. Now, Monroe Street didn't always run straight through. There was a curve. When it got to Elm Avenue, the streetcars curved to the right and then went straight, didn't they? And that was, this big building was built right out to the sidewalk.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a sidewalk. And that was many years that was in service. Then they had some kind of an outlet of the hot water that would leave that powerhouse. And you remember right on the other side of the, on this side of the bridge, on the east side, was a great big, like a tile, and all that hot water came out. And that was one reason why the river didn't freeze over as much as or as it would ordinarily.
Was that by one of the signs?
Yeah, that was an emptying spout, or whatever you wanted to call it. And there, then on the other, right across the street, on the other side of the, by the bridge, was the old Riley House. Remember how that used to sit down there? And right along by the river on the north side, northeast side.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was a driveway right there, and you went through and under a brick building, and that was a back entrance to the old St. Mary's Convent, which was all on that south side of Elm Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
That was the convent building. And all the sisters' living quarters, and even the students, some of them lived there. And
I went to school in Montville,
in the
ninth grade.
Over above by the river?
Right by the river. You could look out the windows into the river.
Opposite Sister Germaine's art gallery.
Those buildings all sat right where St. Mary's parking lot is right now, the public parking lot on the river.
Then, of course, St. Mary's Academy across, that was there for many years, and it burnt down June 3rd, 1929, 10 days before graduation.
Well, you were going there then.
I was in that class. Mm-hmm. That was completely demolished.
That's where Catholic
Central
now stands.
Oh, that's where St. Mary's Academy was.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Until, and then they built up down that further.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And that was the sisters' grounds too, where the public park is along the river there.
And the tennis courts, right?
And the tennis courts,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right up to
that was the sisters' grounds.
Well, and here on Borges, where Borges goes off from Noble. Borges didn't run up beyond Noble Avenue, and that was where the Mims farm was located, and they had their barns right back of the house, and their acreage all followed back of that. And then sometimes in the spring, the drain run down through there, and right down the hill on Borges from Noble, that would very often flood, and they'd go with rowboats back there. We have some snapshots of that.
Mm-hmm.
down by St. Mary's.
Vine Street is now.
Vine Street. Mm-hmm. That's where Quismana's home is down in there, you know. And then, there used to be a racetrack out where Cantry School, that used to be the fairgrounds, like out in that area.
A car racetrack?
No.
Horses.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And they had a big, bleachers with a big top on it. And that was quite an attraction for the city. Then where the high school stands on Washington Street. On that area, there were two schools. Union School, where were they both? But there were two big buildings. And then in the summer, various years, they would have what they called the Chautauqua, and that was like a big show under tent.
Mm-hmm.
And they would have different nights, would have different performances. Peril's band was here, and some very fine singers. It was a very nice entertainment for the city.
Mm-hmm.
And where the present telephone building stands, that was the Masonic Temple that burnt down, but they used to have plays and a lot of entertainment in that building.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Pierce, don't build telephone.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You don't know enough about
it. Well, there used to be a nice resort there.
Bring it over in baby buggies.
Sometimes they even skate with sleds in front of them because it would freeze over all the way.
Mm-hmm.
And lots of times, of course, it would be down on the boat in boats. And there'd be people stationed that would direct them in with lights and the light on the shoreline here. Of course, you'd have to be careful of the law, too.
Mm-hmm.
But they all knew how to escape that, I guess, because there was much of it brought in. Beautiful lotus beds that aren't known very many places in the United States. States, I think they only care about safety. And the pollution just about finished them, all the loaders.
A whole bunch of us went. That's right. Bill's right.
When it was the pier.
Where they used to take you?
We used to go to Puddin' Bay or up
to Tashball.
I don't remember where I went, but I went. Yeah.
So many hour ride or an all-day trip.
They had an orchestra.
Or,
it was an all-day trip.
I can remember.
And an orchestra.
My mother anyway, going to Tashmont. I know she bought a lovely basket. She brought it home. Apparently, they sold pretty
baskets. Well, Tashmont, that's where the Indians were then, you know,
well,
too.
I suppose it was an Indian basket.
Made basket.
What was that? Is that like...
Tajmaw, that's up towards Detroit. It's an island up, like the Tajmaw and Babla boat, you know. Babla boat, and then there's a Tajmaw boat.
It was a Tajmaw island?
Yeah, it's an island, and there used to be Indians on that. And,
well, that probably comes from the basket.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I've never been there, but for many years.
But I
can
remember his mother going there. I suppose it's the basket. I can also remember them going up to Selfridge Field one time. The planes were very...
First started out.
Mm-hmm. Very scarce and unfamiliar, you know.
Do you guys remember the first planes and stuff like that? Okay. When did they When did they start that airport out here? That country?
This was... They went up at...
I don't know when they started Custer, but I can remember when I was a kid. And we hear that that motor droning overhead, John, when we just about knock our dining table over if we have to eat a meal, we get out and look up in the air and see it. Really?
Well, when I was in school out in the country, it was a one-room school, you know, and when they first brought us, the teacher would let us go out, and she might as well let us go out. Because, and you know, it would be a speck 17 miles up. You could just see it, you know, but that was the thrill of a lifetime.
Oh, I can remember that. And oh, we just about knock each other down and get outside to hear that motor.
And those were passenger planes, right?
Yeah.
Well, whatever they had, there were not big ones like now, of course, but it was the beginning.
And Selfridge Field was the first.
Well, my dad was never too much on going like this, to go any place like that. He never liked to see. He would like to stay home. But this time he insisted that he go up there to Selfridge Field. So he went. But I don't think he liked his day too well.
Did he take a plane ride?
Oh, no, nobody took any plane ride. They just went up to
see him.
See him leave.
It was just the beginning of novelty.
See, and now it is nothing. Yeah. But he never cared for anything like that.
No, we used to have gas light before we had electricity. We always had gas on the big house. You know.
Charlie Verhoeven's got the thing that you put them out and light them and put them out. He bought it at an auction sale.
There was a white mantle that went on the over the jet. You always burnt that mantle off first with a match before you started.
Bill remembers. He lived in Milwaukee. They used to light the lights, didn't you, Bill?
Yeah.
Street lights.
These, would they have to go every night and light them all along there? And then they have to go along in the morning and turn them on.
And our ice was delivered with a man in an ice wagon.
Of course, there was no ice boxes.
We had ice boxes, but no refrigerators.
That was true of milk. You had door delivery for your milk. Dairy products.
Mm-hmm. And you didn't do then, John, like you do now. You canned your fruit. You made your butter. You made your bread. You fried down meat. You butchered, you fried down meat, you canned it, you made ham. You didn't go to town every 2 days and buy anything. You couldn't.
And there was no refrigeration.
I said you couldn't.
Just the ice box.
No.
You
see? Never had an ice box.
And you'd have a card you put in your window and it said 25 pounds or 50 and whatever you wanted that day. You'd turn that amount of pounds up in the window.
Mm-hmm.
Then you had a tray in your refrigerator and
you
catch
coffee
drips in the
water.
Oh,
ice.
Oh, it was handy.
Then you'd forget it. Pretty soon it'd run down the kitchen floor.
How long would one of them chunks last?
Well, of course, depending on the temperature outside, you know. like if you had 50 pounds and maybe last 2-3 days. Because those boxes were wooden and
they were pretty tight.
Yeah.
But there
and then the children, we used to follow the ice man because he would chip the, he would be big chunks, you know, and he'd chip it so he'd have 25 pounds and we'd pick up those chipping. Oh, that was delicious. And then there was an ice cream van. We used to have penny ice cream cones.
I remember the penny ice cream cones.
And they were, of course, very big, but now you wouldn't even be able to see them.
You could smell them.
That was good, too. I remember being on the Rain Street, the group teachers in Ethel, and I would watch for the ice cream wagon to come along. You know, he'd buy these little penny cones. He'd be about that high. He'd have a little bowl of ice cream about that big. And,
mm-hmm.
Can you imagine a guy bothering around with kids like that?
We used to take babies out riding. I mean, we'd been in their buggies, all these big willow buggies, you know, they used to have. And then you'd take them and ride them by the hour, and you never, ever, I mean, you never got any money. That was just your own pleasure.
Well, do you know how much people got a day? Men that were, was like going to school in the summer. They were, Oliver Golden, he's dead now, but he was an attorney here in town for years. 25 cents a day. They worked for, but everything was cheap. See, mm-hmm. Nothing was expensive. You could go buy anything. You raise chickens. You take your eggs. You bring them to the store. You trade them for groceries. That's what you did.
Mm-hmm.
You brought your flour to the mill, or your wheat to the mill, and you traded it for flour to make your bacon.
Right. So you wouldn't go get your groceries like once a week or something like that. You'd go once a month.
If you lived on a farm,
you wouldn't go once a month.
You wouldn't even go once a month.
If you lived on a farm, you just about need all you did.
So you, yeah.
Really?
Because we always had fruit
except
trees.
Except for a few little incidentals like salt, sugar, and stuff like that. And you had every kind of small fruit that there was. You had your bigger fruit trees, you know, those. And that was all preserved
and canned.
You ate off them all
winter.
You ate it fresh in the growing
season.
You didn't have much expense for groceries.
You didn't have oranges and stuff like you do at the store now.
No fresh produce.
See, so you'd buy it. Maybe in the wintertime they'd have a boxcar come in with it. Oranges and stuff.
An orange for Christmas or things like that.
You see, John, they didn't have any refrigeration to ship that stuff. They didn't have fresh things. Everything was a treat when it came in season.
So I bet when an orange or something came.
My mother would go to town and she'd buy the oranges. She'd buy crates of oranges and bring them home.
They used to send them in and they would buy them out of a boxcar. On the siding. And you'd go and buy those by the crate.
Mm-hmm.
And each one was individually wrapped in paper.
Mm-hmm.
And they were in a little wooden crate. You could buy grapefruit that way, and you could buy oranges. And I can remember taking those home, and we had one bedroom off the dining room that was cold. Well, all the bedrooms were cold. But that one we didn't sleep in. Let's put it that way.
Remember when the glass of water used to freeze ice in the bedroom? I do.
And I think that one we didn't sleep in, so that's where the oranges were kept. And we wanted every day we come in there.
Would you have like a fireplace or something?
We had a stove.
Oh, a stove.
And of course, you were pretty warm around the stove.
You'd be warm.
Firstly, and then you had furnaces.
A little later.
And at night you had covers about that thick, one on top of the other.
And you had a cook stove you cooked on. You cooked with wood or...
Yeah, but they call baked burning, so they use hard coal in them. And that would burn for a long time.
Yeah, you guys remember the first time you used hard coal or anything like that?
No.
We had a kind of coal burner.
Was that?
The icing glass in it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It had a big hopper, and you fill it from the top, and then that would feed itself for a long time.
You stand up close to it, and you burn your back end, and you get away, and you freeze. Oh,
we always kept a little tea kettle on the back of it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And
that was for humidity.
Humidity.
Mm-hmm.
I had an uncle one time that used to keep. He had a lot of pigs, and he used to keep his water and stuff by that base burner for slop flop his hogs at the
moment. Well, would it be so cold?
Oh, my God, he got up in the night, thought he'd put his coal in the front or in the and a mistake and took a bit of water. That water he had. I tell you that my thought my hand could kill him.
He didn't know what.